This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الله سبحانه وتعالى speaks in the Holy Quran Allah says وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرض السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين صدق الله العظيم الله سبحانه وتعالى says In Surah Ali Imran, verse number 133, Allah says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah says, and make haste, سَارِعُوا, make haste, إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ for forgiveness from your Lord, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ In order that you may gain paradise, the size of which is the size of the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ Promised for those who fear and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, I'm going to do a bit of repetition of Sunday's lecture, but a shortened form of Sunday's lecture because many of you do not come anymore on a Sunday, but that's not my problem. That's your problem. This is probably going to be the last time I'm going to do this favor to you. So this, I feel that it's a very nice topic, and it's a topic for a sunny day like today, when everybody's in a good mood and looking forward to the holidays. So it's a sunny topic, and the topics, inshallah, I will deal with now in the holidays will be topics, inshallah, that will be for the family and for you to. Not the heavy topics, inshallah, we leave for winter and for Ramadan. So I'm making all these concessions to everybody, but Allah guides, not me. I can only sit here and give you the lecture, but I can't bring you to the masjid. That is for you to do. That is, you must decide how important the topic of today is for you. And today's topic, inshallah, will be a preview of the Jannah. A preview of the Jannah. You know, when they people want to sell you, as I said on Sunday, they want to sell you timeshare. It's a big business. So they'll take you to the big hotels. They'll give you something to eat, and they'll show you the mock-up of the hotel or the seaside resort or whatever it may be, and they'll show you a film about it, and all high-powered selling, you know, very pressurized selling, and they won't let you go. Very reluctantly, they let you go until you have bought the timeshare from you. So today, inshallah, we're going to give you a preview of the best real estate that a man can find. That real estate is called Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that a square meter of Jannah is better than the world and whatever it contains. Samawatul Ard. Whatever the heavens and the earth contains, one square meter of Jannah, maybe even one square inch of Jannah, is better than the world and whatever it contains. Obviously, if you have one square inch, then you're inside. That is the important part. Doesn't matter how big the size is. The point is, if you have secured yourself a small piece of real estate, even whatever the size may be, it doesn't matter. You will be inside Jannah. So today, inshallah, we will go to Jannah. And we know that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that he will be the first person to enter Jannah, and the second person will be Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and of course the great Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Anbiya. They will be the first to enter Jannah. But inshallah, we pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will all inshallah enter Jannah. And you know that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that la yadkhulu ar-rajulu al-jannata illa bi'amalihi, that no man shall enter Jannah with his deeds. So don't sit there and think, well, you know, I'm going to go to Jannah, inshallah, don't worry. You know, I'm a good man, and I pray five times a day, and I do all the things I have to do. I look after my wife and my children. No. People will enter Jannah bi rahmatillahi azza wa jal, purely on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've said why. Because all the favors which Allah has bestowed on us, it's impossible to make enough ibadah to thank Allah for all the favors. Impossible. Just for the hair on your head, you can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you see people without hair, you know what I'm talking about. And for the eye which Allah has given to you, I'm just going from the top down. For the nose which Allah has given to you. For the ears that you hear with. Consider the old people who can't hear and they have to wear an ugly thing called a hearing aid. And the mouth to speak. Some people have stopped speaking, they can't speak anymore. And so forth and so on. We're not even going to go down. So all those favors, just one of those, just the eye, for example, is something which we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ says that every man shall know his place which has been promised for him in Jannah, as he will know it better than he knows his own house. He will know it better than his own address in South Africa or in Cape Town. So he will enter Jannah, inshallah, and he will make a beeline for the palace which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have built for him and which he had worked for in the dunya. And we know, and he will come and he will, that place will be reserved for him. That will be the house, the palace, the mansion which will be reserved for him. And he will arrive there. And the first thing he'll see his mansion or his palace, and it will be built one brick of gold and one brick of silver. Subhanallah. One brick of gold, that will be the bricks of Jannah. Everything will be built with bricks of gold and bricks of silver. The granite that we make so much, there's no granite in Jannah. These are all materials of the world. And wooden. It has its limitations. In Jannah, the stuff that Jannah will be made of will be unlimited, will not have limitations. Be no concrete. And whatever is in the year after will be, whatever is in the dunya, there will be a resemblance of it in the year after. So we talk about the fruit of the dunya, for example, about grapes and oranges and whatever else we find on the dunya. And the same names will be in the akhirah. But the quality and the size And whatever else goes with it, the time, the taste will be totally different from what we have on the dunya. For example, if we take fire. We take the fire of Jahannam, for example. We know what fire is. We know fire burns. It's a terrible thing. But the fire of the dunya is only 1/70th the fire that we'll find in Akhirah of the Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire of Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heated the Jahannam for 1,000 years until the flames turned red in color. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heated the fire again for 1,000 years until it turned black. So the flames of Jahannam are black. The coals are black. It's a place of total and absolute darkness. Everything is black. You may think it's a fire, there'll be a lot of light. No, there's no light. The fire has turned completely black. So many of the other things as well. So we know fire, but the fire and the things of the dunya are not the same as the akhirah. Similarly, the mansions, I mean, the best mansion you see here, don't fool yourself. It's not as good as it is. I mean, you go up to Bishop's Court and talk to anybody that owns a house. When it rains, it always leaks. And they can't find the leaks. Every time they get in, a different person to come and check out the leaks. Ask the people who live in these big, big houses. The problems they have in just the maintenance of the house, never mind living in the house. In Jannah, the mansions will be, the palaces will be pearls. The inside of the pearl is taken out. One can imagine what the pearl looks like. Considered a massive pearl, a three-story pearl. Inside of the pearl is taken, and the mansions are built inside these pearls. And how do we know this? We know this because Jibreel one day came to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah, in the house of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Jibreel said, "Oh Khadija," this is in Bukhari, "Oh Khadija, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Prophet of Allah, your wife is coming to you from the kitchen. She's making her way to you from the kitchen. She's bringing you something to eat. Before she arrives, I want to tell you, to give her a message. And the message is, فَقْرِئَ السَّلَامُ مِنْ رَبِّهَا وَمِنْ جِبْرِيلِ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ." Jibreel says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends her salam. And Jibreel also send her salam. And wabashirha, and give her the good news that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has built for her baytan fil jannah, a special house in paradise. Not a house, a palace, mansion, whatever you want to call it. لا صخب فيه ولا نصب. Tell her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells her that in that house there will be no noise. ولا نصب, and no fatigue. Maybe she was a hardworking woman. You know, if you're a prophet's wife, it's hard work. And she had the children of her own, and Ali was staying there, and probably lots of people came to the house, and lots of people had to be looked after and entertained, and so on and so on. And your house will be a carved out pearl. Mansion carved out. Imagine, you know, today we have a movement in the world called feminism. The feminist movement is a movement of women who say that men have dominated the world for too long. Why is their God, the Christian God, a man? And why are men, why did men dominate religion? And why were all the prophets men and so forth and so on? So this feminist movement, the feminists say, no, God has no gender. Maybe God can be female as well. I mean, this silly thing. And they say religion doesn't honor women. And look what Islam does. Look how Islam honors the wife of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wife is honored, of course, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored her. Allah built for her also a house in Jannah, subhanallah, through her patience with Fir'aun. And this hadith that is given this palace given to Khadija in this hadith was narrated by, as I said, Bukhari and Tirmidhi. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the mansions of paradise for you are in architecture and that kind of thing. The mansions of paradise will be, you'll be able to see, when you're inside the house, you'll be able to see the outside. And when outside the house, you'll be able to see the inside. So which means that there are dimensions in Jannah in the year after that I can only dream about as human beings. Now, this must come strange for us living in the 21st century. Because now you can watch a movie in 3D. In my father's time, if you had spoken to him about 3D, what's 3D? Today, I remember I attended an exhibition in Malaysia some time ago. And the exhibition was on space travel. And they had this cinema inside this complex where it was not only 3D, it also the seats moved. So if there was a shaking, your seat would shake. Your seat that you sit on would also move, it will shake. So you'll see this stuff coming to you, and of course you'll do this and this. I still do that when I watch a 3D film. My grandkids, of course, laugh at me. But this is... So what can imagine if this is what human beings can produce, what human beings can make. Imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. And wa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is capable of doing everything. So one of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, these mansions that you speak about, these palaces that you speak, for whom is it? Who is Allah building it for? Who is it made for? And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Liman أطاب الكلام وأطعم الطعام وأدام الصيام وصلى بالليل والناس نيام. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these palaces are for people who أطاب الكلام, who use their tongues in their mouth to speak only that which is good. وأطعم الطعام, and love to feed the poor. وأدام الصيام, and love to fast. وصلى بالليل, and they love to pray at night when others are sleeping. So they wait till people sleep, and then they go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we increase our real estate? I spoke about a square meter, square centimeter, square inch. How does one increase your real estate? Now, this is the rush of today. Everybody's into buying houses and increasing the real estate. Anybody is buying for the children that must still be born. Never mind, children is already there. People always think, oh, I must buy this plot and I must buy that house and I must buy this on the dunya. And ultimately, before the end comes, becomes a massive problem. Because what do you now do when you're going to die with all these houses and properties that you have? People don't know what to do. I know. I draft people's wills. They say, oh, sure, go to this house and that house and this flat and that flat, and scratching his head, you know. Sometimes he only has daughters and eyes to give to his brothers also, and that is a big problem, you know. Because now his wife says, but they didn't work for it. Allah says you must give it to them. So, yeah, instead of working for the real estate, just own what you have to own on the dunya, that's enough, and work for the real estate of the akhirah. First is, how do we increase our real estate? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man bana lillahi baytan fi dunya bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you build for Allah a house in the dunya, Allah will build for him a palace in the akhirah. Secondly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he who performs 12 rak'ah sunnah every day, Allah will build him a palace every day. Makes 12 rak'ah sunnah every day. Two before Fajr, four before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Isha. Because two after Asr as well, make it a little bit more. But if you pray that every single day, or whenever you feel like building a palace in Jannah, then that's what you do. Do the sunnahs, but remember, four before Dhuhr. Two after Dhuhr, the great sunnah mu'akkada is to make four rak'ahs before Dhuhr. Imagine, just to make 12 rak'ahs, imagine somebody says to you, you know, you can have every day of your life, you can have a cottage at the beach. All you have to do is make 12 rak'ahs every day. Subhanallah. And that cottage at the beach will one day disappear. How the waves will take it. I mean, the sea levels are rising in any case. But in Jannah, mashallah, there will be no sea levels rising. Your palace will stay and remain as it is. So, we arrive at the house and we look at it and we see, mashallah, it's perfect. Bricks of gold, bricks of silver. And the door opens, and there, subhanallah, we see something inside the house that roots us to the spot. We are mesmerized by what we see when the door opens. We've never ever seen anything like it in our lives before. Ever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in Surah Waqi'ah, which is the 56th surah of the Holy Quran, verse 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ansha'nahunna insha. Faj'alnahunna abakara. Uruban atraban li ashabil yam. I mean, if you just listen to the words, just the words of the Quran, just the words describing what you see, Inna ansha'nahunna insha. Faj'alnahunna abakara. Uruban atraban li ashabil yam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your wives in the Jannah, your wife which you had on the dunya will be the wife that will be standing in there, in that palace, when you open the door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes her. Allah says, your wife on the dunya will be remade. Inna ansha'nahunna insha. How will she be remade by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Refashioned. Remodeled. Insha. She will again be a maiden, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ja'alnahunna abakara. Maidens. Now comes the word. Allah then describes what this transformation will be. Allah describes it in two words. Uruban atraban. Uruban atraban. Uruban means, the word urub means somebody who loves you unconditionally, somebody who is passionately in love with you and excessively in love with you. Allah should have given us some for the dunya, but anyway, can't have everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first describes the personality of this woman to be standing in front of you. She will be passionately and excessively in love with you. Uruban. Three letters. Imagine three letters contain all that. Then this transformation also contains, she will be like you always wanted her to be. The perfect wife. Subhanallah. So when you stand there, you'll be mesmerized, not because she's your wife, but because she'll be completely different. She'll be exactly what you want. All that little niggly things that you didn't like, it's all gone. All the jealousies, oh, there'll be no such thing in Jannah, all gone. So don't think you'll be just settled with one wife in Jannah. No. If you have another 10 Hurun Ains, no problem. Because there'll be no jealousy. All the negative feelings that you'd have, they'll be gone. But you'll have your wife. And Allah atraba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, uruban atraban. Atrab means same age. She, you and she will be the same age. 33 years old. And this woman would not be the woman that will be chosen by a panel of experts sitting somewhere once a year to select Miss Universe. No. She will be chosen, transformed by He who created the heavens and the earth. That knows every need of that you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Ar-Rahman 55, Fihinna khayratun hisan. Allah says, in Jannah, both ways, men and women will have companions, good and beautiful. Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is beautiful and loves everything which is beautiful. Allah loves beauty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes in a hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari, describes what would happen if a woman of Jannah should look down upon the dunya. لو أن امرأة من أهل الجنة تطلع على الأرض على أهل الأرض. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if a woman of Jannah should show her face to the people of the dunya, it will light up the whole of the world. The nur will light up the whole of the world. We know today, I mean, we have the sun. There are certain places the sun doesn't shine. The sun is so big. Imagine the nur of one woman of the dunya will be in Jannah. Her face will light up the whole of the world. And it's an inconceivable distance from there to here. And what about men? You know, we always talk about the women of Jannah. What about the men of Jannah? The men of Jannah, the height will be the height of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, was a very tall man. The first man, people are getting smaller and smaller, of course, as you know. Archaeologists tell us that, you know, all the excavations they do. Every man will have the beauty of Yusuf. Ali said, don't worry. You won't be short. You won't be too tall. Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, was the most handsomest man that ever lived. And we'll all be the age of Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, which will be approximately about 33 years of age. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in a hadith describing Jannah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, narrated by Imam Muslim, when we're going to enter paradise, Yunadi Munadin, a voice will call, somebody will call out, Inna lakum an tahyu fala tamutu abadan. A voice will call out and say, oh people of Jannah, you will live forever, yet there is no death. Inna lakum tasihu fala tastaqum fala tasqabu abadan. Oh people of Jannah, this is a place of perfect health. There be no illness in Jannah. Perfect health. When I mean perfect health, I mean absolutely perfect health. Wa inna lakum an tashibbu fala tahramu abadan. Oh people of Jannah, this is a place of eternal youth. Nobody will get old, inshallah. Not inshallah, nobody will get old. Even if you don't say inshallah, nobody will get old. Wa inna lakum an tana'amu fala tab'asu abadan. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is a place of only enjoyment. There is no sadness in Jannah. Nobody's going to work on your nerves. Nobody's going to make you sad. It's a place of complete enjoyment. So we will enter this house, this palace, this home which Allah SWT created for us through our good deeds on the dunya and through His mercy. And Allah describes it in Surah Al-A'la. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Allah describes the inside of the palaces of Jannah in the surah. Allah says, فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَ. In it will be raised thrones of dignity, divans or cities raised high. وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَ. And goblets placed wherever you want it placed, with whatever you want to drink. وَنَمَارِقُ مَسْفُوفَ. And cushions set in rows. Arranged in a special way by special angels who just does that particular job. They are interior decorators par excellence. Exactly the way you wanted your house to be in the dunya, how it should be arranged, it will be arranged for you like that. SubhanAllah. Every comfort will be there for you. Muttakina ala sururim masfufa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will recline on sofas and lounge on sofas and cushions set in rows. So you'll sit there maybe for a few years just admiring your lounge. You'll sit there because you have no appointments. You have no rush. No work to go to. No sleep will overtake you. You have unlimited time. Absolutely unlimited time. So you can admire you, mashallah. That's what Allah SWT created. You may go out in the garden after that. You look at a rose which Allah created. You look at it maybe for a year or 6 months, admiring it, subhanAllah. Remember, every day of the Jannah is equal to 1,000 years of the dunya. You can't imagine size and time. Imagine 1,000 years. We think 1,000 is such a long. That's why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked, when is Qiyamah? He said, Qiyamah is, me and Qiyamah is like this. My coming and the last day is like this. Because how many years are we now after Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? 1,400. 1,400 is 1.5 days of the days of Qiyamah. Is it? Okay, so now you leave your palace. I mean, you're interested in what's going on outside. And you have a guide now. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had a guide when he was shown through Jannah. His guide was Jibreel. So you have your guide. Malak, the angel, will come and guide you, and he will show you first the size of your property. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes in a hadith, quite a lengthy hadith, which I will shorten for you, about the size of Jannah. Imam Bukhari narrates in a lengthy hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talks about the smallest piece of real estate that a man can own in Jannah. What is the man will enter Jannah last? What is his size of property that he will get in Jannah? Of course, the man who will enter Jannah last will be the man who will come out of Jahannam. The man who will come out of Jahannam last, and he will go to Jannah. He will go into paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, okay, now you've been cleansed, go to Jannah. And he will go, and he'll go inside and come out again. And Allah will say to him, Ya Abdi, O my servant, what's wrong? I mean, you wanted to go, and now you're out again. He says, Ya Allah, وَجَدْتُهَا مَلْآ I found the Jannah full. Full, block, chock and block full. Allah says, it can't be. Go again, go inside, come. Goes in again, comes out and says, no, it's full in there. Maybe people are standing in the door, you know it is. So third time he comes out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiles and Allah says to him, oh my servant. Remember, this is the last man, this is the worst man who ever lived from Adam until the end of time. That man. He only said la ilaha illallah, nothing else. He did everything he shouldn't have done on the face of the earth. Only he believed there was one Allah. And through that belief, he comes out of it. So he goes, so Allah says to him, oh my servant, oh my abd, what do you think? What do you think if I tell you that the Jannah that I've prepared for you, the size of the piece of Jannah which I've prepared for you, is 10 times the size of the dunya? So you see, can you imagine? You can't imagine 10 times the size. You can't even think about 10 times the size of the... So that man will say, Ya Rabbi, atastahsi minni? Oh Allah, you're making fun of me. Because you mean, man, just come out of Jahannam, you know, he's maybe still full of pain. He doesn't want to be bothered. He just wants to go inside Jahannam. He's not interested how big and how small. He says, Ya Allah, atastahsi minni? Nabi Sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no. He says, but what are you saying? Tender? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, that's what I prepared for you. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he narrated this hadith, when the man said to Allah, Ya Allah, are you making fun of me? Wa anta rabbul alamin, you are the Lord of the universe. Huh? Nabi Sallam laughed. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this to the man, Nabi Sallam laughed. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he narrated the same hadith, he also laughed. So the Sahaba asked him, oh Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, why are you laughing? He said, because Nabi Sallam laughed. I mean, not Nabi Sallam, yeah, Nabi Sallam laughed. So, can you imagine the man who just goes in before him, what is his size? Maybe 20 times the size of the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant, inshallah, that we will be all the first to enter Jannah. So, now you come out and see, you hear this gurgling of water and ask the angel, he says, there's a river flowing under your house, your own private river. Flowing. Under your property. And this is of course described. And of course, everywhere they are waitons serving on you. Everywhere. Wildanun mukhalladun, as Allah says in Surah Waqi'ah. Wildanun mukhalladun. Young men and young women will serve on you. They'll be the waitons. And you'll smell the most beautiful smell. You're outside your house and you smell this beautiful smell. And you ask the angel who's guiding you, he says, what is the smell? Where does it come from? And he says, look under your feet. And you look at your feet and you'll see this, that the earth of the Jannah, the turab of the Jannah is made of musk. وَإِذَا تُرَابُهَا المسك. As Nabi Sallam says, when he was in Jannah on the night of Mi'raj, the turab, the sand of the Jannah was white musk. Subhanallah. So you think, well, maybe it's not made just for your garden. No, no, the whole of Jannah. The whole of Jannah is covered in white musk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes In Surah Muhammad, which is the 47th Surah, verse number 15, Allah describes the rivers of the Jannah. This will be the next part of the tour. The angel will take you to show you the rivers of the Jannah. Allah says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ لِلْمُتَّقُونَ. Allah says, a similitude of the Jannah which has been promised to the muttaqoon, fiha anharun min ma'in ghayr asin. In it are rivers of water whose taste doesn't change. You know, in the world, in the dunya, if you don't keep the water in a special place, if you keep it too long in a particular place, you can't drink it after a while. Pool water you have to treat in summer almost daily. Water has to be in Jannah, it doesn't, it becomes incorrupt. Water is incorruptible. وَنَارُ مِنْ لَبَنْ. Rivers of honey. لَمْ يَتَغَيْرَ طَعْمُ. Whose taste doesn't change. Again, milk, if you keep it too long under the fridge, can't use it. وَنَارُ مِنْ خَمْرٍ. Rivers of wine. Now again, we hear the word wine. It's nothing to do with the wine of the dunya. لَذَّةٌ لِشَارِبِينَ. Which will be sweet tasting and good tasting to those who drink it. Of course, there will be no intoxication in Jannah. وَنَارُ مِنْ عَسْلٍ. Musaffa. Rivers of honey, pure and clean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. This is a parable of the garden. Then the angel will take us to that which belongs to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to him as a gift while he was in dunya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, that when he went on the Mi'raj, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا أَسِيرُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ إِذَا أَنَا بِنَهْرٍ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, as Jibril showed me, he showed me a river. The river, the inside of the river was lined in pearls and rubies. And the river's name is the river Al-Kawthar. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَا كَالْكَوْثَر. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْهَرْ إِنَّ شَانِيَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْدَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, already in the dunya, that you will get a special river only for you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This river will flow under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that river flows out of Jannah, and will flow to the place where we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. And there the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, it will be a very hot day, the day of Qiyamah. The sun will be a span from your head, maybe the ceiling height. Can you imagine? So everybody will look for water. And the Nabi himself will feed his ummah and everybody else with his own hand from that water. And after you drink that water, you will never be thirsty again, ever. Then the tour guide, the angel, will take us on a tour of the springs of Jannah. Anna. Abrarul Jannah, the springs and the fountains of Jannah. And this is described, and you must read, this is your homework for today. Go and read Surah Al-Insan or Surah Al-Dahr 76. Surah 76. MashaAllah, what a beautiful surah this is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah, Innal Abrara Yashrabuna min Ka'asin Kana Mizajuha Kafura. Allah says, and the Abrar, the good people in the Jannah, will drink a cup of this water mixed with kafur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for who will be this kind of water, this mixture of water? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those yufuna bin nadri, wa yakhafuna yawman, كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are for those who keep their promises, who keep their contracts. So very important is keep your promise. وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا. And they fear that day when they will be asked about these promises which they made. Number two, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَأَسِيرًا مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who love to feed the poor, the indigent, the needy, the wayfarer, the prisoner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further and says, وَيُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا. And then the angel will take you to a spring where the water will be mixed with ginger. Ginger must be good to drink. I know the East African Muslims, the Ugandans and the Kenyans, if you go and visit them at their homes, they'll give you ginger tea. And they don't say ginger, they say ginger. Ginger, ginger tea. They invite you for beautiful, sweet ginger tea. They say, I had a student friend in Pakistan when I studied. He says, why drink tea when you can drink the drink of Jannah? Drink ginger. They make it nice. They make it, very, very nice ginger. وَيُسْقُونَ فِيهَا كَاسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا. And this comes from a spring called Salsabil. The spring's name is Salsabil. So all these, this is the tour of Jannah. Of course, we can never cover any. This is just a preview of Jannah. We live in Cape Town. I don't think any of us has seen 10% of Cape Town. Just impossible. Your whole lifetime you live on this side of Table Mountain. You drive the same street up and down every day to work. So what do you see? Traffic. That's all you see. You see traffic. Then, the angel, our guide, of course, we will realize by now that this place, Jannah, is not like the dunya. Because there's no moon, no darkness, no sunset, no wind, no shadow, nobody's got a shadow, no shadows, no winter, no summer. You don't feel tired, you don't want to go to sleep. Just like this the whole day. No days, no nights. And you find that the more you drink and the more you eat, nothing happens to you. You don't want to go to the toilet, no toilets. Maybe we should have imported a piece of that to put it in Khayelitsha so we don't need any toilets. We'll have a toilet problem in yourself. Mr. Sam says you'll burp, and your burp will smell like musk. That's the length and the breadth of going to the toilet. But you won't be eating and drinking because you are tired, you are thirsty or you're hungry. You'll do it because you enjoy it. And the angel will say to you, here's an orange, and you say, no, I don't want any more oranges. I've done eaten enough oranges, Yesterday I had a lot of oranges. The angel said, no, eat it. Give me this orange, eat the orange. And you'll eat the orange, and you think, subhanallah, this orange is different from the orange I ate yesterday. Every orange that you eat is different, it's not the same. So you're not going to say, I've eaten a lot of oranges today, please, or I've eaten a lot of bananas, a lot of strawberries, I don't eat fruit anymore. No. Every fruit will taste differently from what it tasted before. And then this guide will take you to see the Sidratil Muntaha, the lotus tree, the place where beyond no human being has ever gone. If you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody's ever gone past that place, not even Jibreel alayhi salam. And the lotus tree is a metaphor. There's no tree there. There's no tree called a lotus tree. But the Quran uses the word Sidratul Muntaha to signify a metaphorical place of where human beings can't go beyond. It's an expression, it's a mode of speech that we use. But there's no lotus tree, because I was interested to know, where's this lotus tree on the dunya? There's no such thing as a lotus tree. It's just that place called the Sidratul Muntaha. And we'll be shown the Sidratul Muntaha. And the angel will say that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an invitation to the people of Jannah, and we'll cross that uncrossable place when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually. So, this Jannah that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes to us in his ahadith, and which is clearly described in detail in the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the reasons that we're here today. One of the reasons that we honor the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we do the good that we do, is that we must always think about where this is going to take us one day, inshallah. And a Muslim always lives his life thinking that this is temporary. All this that we see here is temporary. And cannot compare to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us in Qiyamah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِيهَا مَا لَا عِنٌ رَأَتْ وَأُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. In the Jannah, مَا لَا عِنٌ رَأَتْ is what the eye has never seen. مَا لَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ what the ear has never heard. وَمَا خَطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ and what no heart has ever longed for. Can you imagine? We long for so many things on the dunya. But in the Jannah, there'll be things that we never thought of that'll be there. Never ever thought of. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant, inshallah, that we always keep in mind, you know, sometimes we get lazy to make salah, we get lazy to do good. We think, well, today maybe we can take a bit of a holiday and all that sort of thing. We're just human beings. And it's always good to think about the rewards which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us in Jannah. Inshallah. Shukran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.